girl. Love the mess, I watch the swirl of smoke from candles burning. While Mary looked up yearning, I got confirmed and I confessed. I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age. And all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo. Trying to feel something. I came back home and won't let go. So much more for me to know. I read the Tao of Physics and all those quantum mystics. Something did feel right. The arguments weren't all that tight. And all those things I thought were true. Someday I'd break the big taboo.
Welcome to the show. This is Free Thought Forum Radio or Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter 5. Let's see if I can get this audio up a little bit. And there it is. Okay. Welcome to the Free Thought Radio Hour. We'll be talking about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. Conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, God, holy books, and superstition. And despite what Steve Martin would have you think, there are a lot of atheist songs, and you'll be hearing them right here on this program. I'll also be talking about the atheist and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knox Patch and how you can connect with them. Also, we'll be talking about the Atheist Call-In TV show that's broadcasting here in Knoxville and has been broadcasting for over 5 years. That's right, and we'll be talking about that too. And the first, the music. Here to start things off is Jesus is a Friend of Mine. Songs Seed by Lyrics. What is Song Seed? Anyway, here we go. I don't know what the problem is, but it's not playing. Seems to be playing on the screen, but it's not going out. And the mute buttons are up and all that. But I can't hear it. Hello, testing. Anyway, good
news. Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
He taught me how to live my life as it should be. He taught me how to turn my cheek when people laugh at me. I've had friends before, and I can tell you that he's one who will never leave you flat.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
He taught me how to pray and how to save my soul. He taught me how to praise my God and still play rock and roll. The music may sound different, but the message is the same. It's just an instrument to praise his name.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
That's by Sunseed. Some people have been wondering what the song is that I play when I first start the show. Letting Go of God. The lady who plays Pat on Saturday Night Live, or did several years ago, has started a one-woman show. I can't remember her name. Maybe somebody will call in and tell me what it is, or I can just look her up. Pat on Saturday Night, SNL. Anyway, she has a one-woman show, Julia Sweeney, that talks about her leaving God, or how she lost her faith in God. She was Catholic, born and raised Catholic, and she first got her clue that there was no God when her brother accidentally spilled the beans and the mother cut him off short because he was an atheist. And she knew then that something was up. But anyway, let's get on to the show. It's going to be kind of a strange show today. I'm going to play some of the videos that I've made for YouTube. These have my own guitar picking on it, my own voice, and the voice of a Christian lady, unidentified Christian lady. And what it is generally when you come out as an atheist to a friend of yours who happens to be a believer or Christian, the first thing they do is ask you a lot of questions. Really, what they should have done is ask their own self their questions and not settle for faith as an answer. But anyway, we'll start the videos and they'll kind of be self-explanatory. See what we got here. Welcome to Digital Free Thought Answers to Religious Questions for the Atheist Perspective. The text was taken from digitalfreethought.com, read by and written by Larry Rhodes. Religions are belief systems that were formed thousands of years ago by very ignorant and superstitious people during a time when there was no scientific method, no formal schooling, and very little critical thought. These people made up many elaborate stories to address the basic questions of where do we come from and why are we here? And every culture had their own version. A priesthood arose to take advantage of the willingness of people to believe in these explanations. They found that they could gain higher status, wealth, and political control by perpetuating and expounding on these myths. They soon started demanding offerings and then sacrifices, sometimes human, to the gods of these stories. Before long, they were actually killing and otherwise silencing the unbelievers, and this is still going on in many parts of the world today. Atheists believe that the time to leave religion behind is at hand. The human species is quite capable of dealing with the world without mysticism. We can use our rational minds to find the answers that we seek. Science is doing an excellent job of digging them out of nature. Where answers are not to be had from nature itself, philosophy can step in. Religions can only divide the human race and set us against each other. Moreover, it wastes millions of man-hours and billions of dollars that otherwise could be used to improve the human condition. That said, let's get started.
What exactly is an atheist?
Well, an atheist is a person who does not believe in God. However, if you look up atheist in certain dictionaries, you might encounter phrases like, one who denies the existence of God, implying that we are in denial of reality. Infidel, non-believer, immoral, evil. Good examples of this can be found in older versions of Webster's dictionary. Webster was a Christian, and obviously had an axe to grind against atheists.
Don't you atheists worship Satan?
No, we don't. We don't believe in any gods, devils, demons, angels, spirits, ghosts, witches, miracles, or just about anything supernatural. Why would we worship something that we don't believe exists?
Why don't you believe in God?
Well, why don't you believe in Jupiter or Thor or green people on Venus? Same reason. There's no evidence. And there is actually a lot of evidence that a Christian God of your description, all-loving, all-knowing, and all-powerful, can't exist in this universe. If he did, why would he allow innocent children to get cancer? Why would he send hurricanes and earthquakes to kill so many people? Why would he allow people to fly planes into our skyscrapers and kill many people? And on and on and on. Actually, the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving God of Christianity is logically impossible. Let's look at this. If he allows children to get cancer, allows tsunamis and hurricanes to kill thousands, if he allows bad men to rape good women, then he allows evil to exist in the world. Then, one, he can't be all-loving. Or, two, he can't know about it. Or, three, he's not powerful enough to stop it. You can have two out of three, but you can't have all three. When looking at the world through the eyes of a rationalist or atheist, the world makes perfect sense. Some people, good and bad, will die in natural disasters. Little children will get cancer as a certain percentage of the population. There's no malice and no mysterious plan. Also, if you reread your Bible with a critical mind, you'll notice that the God of the Bible actually is extremely violent and cruel, jealous, murderous, impetuous, peevish, possessive, threatening, irrational, and misogynistic. All of these are human emotions, and every Christian apologist that I've ever heard constantly says that God is so above humans that we can never understand his motives. While reading the Bible, you're supposed to understand his motives. That's where the supposed lessons come from. And he's constantly surprised by the action of humans. How can he be all-knowing and be surprised by anything we do? And get angry, a human emotion, when we're simply following the plan that he laid down in the first place. What this boils down to is that God was actually created by men, and the Bible authored by men, not the other way around. Ask yourself honestly, do the actions of your God make sense to you, or does he really seem to act like a spoiled 8-year-old? And this is the start of part two. There are 6 parts. I'll play a couple and then play music and then come back to this so it won't be continuous.
Well then, prove that God does not exist.
Well, that's not up to us. Carl Sagan once wrote, "Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence." You are making the extraordinary claim that you know how the universe was created, that the universe was created by your personal God, and that that God still exists. The burden of proof is on the one making the claims, you. We simply say we don't believe it. Also, one could argue that it's hardly necessary to disprove something that has never been proven in the first place.
But everyone believes in God. Why don't you?
Well, actually, everyone doesn't believe in God. About 15% of Americans, that's 30 million people as of the 2000 census, say that they don't believe in a God. There are about twice as many atheists in America as Jews. Also, most people around the world believe in different gods. Yours is only one of 1,000-plus deities that people believe in. Also, there are whole religions without a supreme being. Buddhism, Confucianism, Taoism, and many whole countries without pervasive religions, like China, Japan, and the Scandinavian countries.
Why don't you believe in God anyway? If he's not real, you haven't lost anything. But if he is real, you get to go to heaven.
Well, you're basically talking about Pascal's wager, and there are several reasons this doesn't work for us. The main points are, few, if any, atheists believe in deities out of choice. It's not as if we know that God is there, but we somehow refuse to believe in him. We are convinced that he is simply not there. Which God? How do you know which God is to believe in? What if you're wrong? 3, if God really exists, he's not stupid. He would know that we're trying to get a free ride into heaven. 4, you can just believe in God. You would also have to believe in the whole religious package. In Christianity, that would also mean believing in angels, demons, Satan, cherubim, heaven, hell, saints, sin, resurrection, prophets, miracles, and on and on and on. And on the other side of the coin, if there is no God, you have still lost something by worshiping Him. You have wasted a good portion of your life performing the various devotional rituals, attending churches, praying, reading scripture, and discussing your deity with His other followers, not to mention giving your hard-earned money to the church, wasting your intelligence on theological endeavors, and boring the hell out of people who really don't want to hear your good news. Also, as an unbeliever, you would have lost a good deal of self-respect by pursuing a path that you didn't believe in for your whole life. These answers are drawn from Adrian Barnett's site.
Well, what do you believe?
Well, we believe in human dignity. We're not born dirty sinners. We're born as Earth's most intelligent, adaptive creatures. We have the ability to overcome adversity without help from mysticism, superstition, and invisible friends. We believe in treating our fellow human as we would like to be treated, which is a humanist idea, centuries older than Christianity. We believe that humans are fully capable of deciding their own purpose in life. We believe that the comfort that religion theoretically offers is more than offset by the amount of pain, death, and suffering it has caused throughout history. And we believe that religion has hindered the advancement of human knowledge more than any other single cause, and is still doing so today. There are several versions of the atheist Ten Commandments on the internet these days. Here is one, drawn from ethicalatheist.com. 1. Thou shalt not believe all thou art told. 2. Thou shalt constantly seek knowledge and truth. 3. Thou shalt educate thy fellow man in the laws of science. 4. Thou shalt not forget the atrocities committed in the name of God. 5. Thou shalt leave valuable contributions for future generations. 6. Thou shalt live in peace with thy fellow man. 7. Thou shalt live this one life thou havest to its fullest. 8. Thou shalt follow a personal code of ethics. 9. Thou shalt maintain a strict separation between church and state. 10. Thou shalt support those who follow these commandments.
Well then, where do you think the universe came from?
I don't know. Nobody does. Not even your preacher. Besides, saying that God did it really explains nothing. You're in essence saying that an unseen, unknowable being created it in a way that we could never understand. You might as well say it was magic or fairies. Also, when you say God created the universe, it begs the question, who or what created God? And then, who or what created that entity? Here's the real problem. People do have questions about the universe. Where did it come from? Where do we come from? And do we have a purpose? These questions are very basic human questions, and it would be wonderful if the answers were easy to come by and easy to understand. However, they are anything but basic or easy to answer. To arrive at any kind of respectable or defendable answer, you would have to study anthropology, biology, physics, and philosophy, just to begin with. We have long since passed the point where the layman can do more than scratch the surface on these many diverse fields. The answers are very complex and hard to arrive at, but religion makes it easy. Just study one book, get some help from your preacher. God created the universe. We're here because He put us here. Our purpose is to serve Him and the church. These answers are easy, but one, they're not really answers, because we don't know how He did it, or where He came from, or what His purpose was for putting us here. And two, when we follow religion, we're not following the same religion, and it's very divisive. It causes elitism, intolerance, and war. These are paths we can no longer afford to take. Humanity is too interlinked, the world is too small, and nuclear weapons are too abundant. The difference between science and religion is the way that we go about finding answers from the world around us. Science looks at the universe and tries to figure it out, working from the data to the answer. Religion works backwards. It looks at the Bible and tries to find data in the universe that supports its answers, ignoring or denying the evidence that contradicts it. Therein lies the problem. In the past, religion has denied that the world is round, that the sun is the center of the solar system, and that illness is caused by microscopic organisms. Religion currently is denying evolution. This at a time when every major accredited school of higher education in the world accepts it. Galileo Galilei was imprisoned, and Gianardo Bruno was killed for espousing their scientific discoveries during a time when religion ruled Western civilization, the Dark Ages. Oh, by the way, the Catholic Church is apparently after a kinder, gentler image. On its website, The Myth of the Spanish Inquisition, they say it wasn't millions of heretics they killed, but only 3,000 to 5,000. So what do you do? Take some time and learn about the world around you. I personally enjoy the study of these different fields. The Internet has put all of the sciences at our fingertips. You would be surprised how accessible and understandable the information is nowadays if you will only take the time to ask the questions and use your brain. Learning is lifelong and fun. Open your mind and start.
To the earth, chemically, to the rest of the universe, atomic.
I think nature's imagination is so much greater than man's. He's never gonna let us
relax. We live in an in-between universe where things change all right, but according to patterns, rules, or as we call them, laws of nature.
I'm this guy standing on a planet. I'm just a speck compared with a star. The planet is just another speck. To think about all of this, to think about the vast emptiness of space. There's billions and billions of stars, billions and billions of specks. The beauty of a living thing is not the atoms that go into it, but the way those atoms are put together. Cosmos is also within us. We're made of smart stuff. We are aware of the cosmos and know itself.
Across the sea of space, the stars are others. We've traveled this way before, and there is much to be learned.
We're all connected to each other biologically, to the earth chemically, to the rest of the universe.
Atomic. Find it elevating and exhilarating to discover that we live in a universe which permits the evolution of molecular machines as intricate and subtle as we.
I know that the molecules in my body are traceable to phenomena in the cosmos. That makes me want to grab people
stream
and say, have you heard this?
The beauty of a living thing is not the atoms that go into it, but the way those atoms are put together. The cosmos is also within us. We're made of smart stuff. We are aware of the cosmos and know itself.
This tremendous mass of waves all over in space, which is the light bouncing around the room, going from one thing to the other, and it's all really there, really, really there. But you gotta stop and think about it, about the complexity, and really get the pleasure. It's all really there, really, really there. The inconceivable nature of nature. To think about all of this, to think about the vast emptiness of space.
There's billions and billions of stars, billions and billions of specks.
The beauty of a living thing is not the atoms that go into it, but the way those atoms are put together.
The cosmos is also within us. We're made of smart stuff. We are aware of the cosmos. Know itself.
Across the sea of space, the stars are others. We've traveled this way before, and there is much to be learned.
And that was Symphony of Science. We are all connected. Here's part 3 of 6 of Digital Free Thoughts Atheism 101 series.
You should believe. Millions of believers can't be wrong.
Sure they can. How many people believe in astrology, numerology, psychics, and magic? People are easily duped, and especially so in large numbers. Also, your believers can't even agree on what they believe. J.H. Johnson writes that some 433 million Muslims believe that the Quran was brought by an angel from heaven. 335 million Hindus believe that one of their gods, Shiva, has six arms. 153 million Buddhists believe that they will be reincarnated. 904 million Christians believe a God made the world in 6 days, Joshua stopped the sun by yelling at it, and Jesus was born of a virgin and nullified natural laws to perform miracles. Why should we believe any of these fantastic tales brought to us from 2,000 to 3,000 years ago by ignorant, superstitious men?
Why don't you just have faith?
Quote from an unknown source, faith is what your preacher says you must have so that you'll believe all the other stuff he wants to tell you. Arthur C. Clarke said, a faith that cannot survive collision with the truth is not worth many regrets. And Friedrich Nietzsche, a casual stroll through the lunatic asylum shows that faith does not prove anything. If you insist that everyone has faith in something, I'll admit that my faith lies in humanity, the human ability to deal with the real world using human reason and compassion. I have faith that we are not born as flawed sinners. We are born whole, with brains capable of dealing with life challenges, unassisted by mythology and supernatural belief systems. Dr. Charlie Webb writes in his article, Think for Yourself, faith is nothing more than thought control. Blind faith is legalized slavery. Faith tells us never to question the evidence for truth. But should we care about the truth? Absolutely. Because if we don't know what reality is, how can we ever expect to know how to deal with reality? To find the truth, we simply need to think for ourselves and examine the evidence. Evidence is everything. All the world's evidence tells us that whoever wrote the Bible and whoever wrote the Quran knew absolutely nothing about geography, geology, astronomy, biology, or evolution. They thought their world was flat. They shared their profound ignorance of their time, and yet we are told to have faith that these primitive people knew more than we do. And only blind faith could swallow such a yarn. Also, if faith is all that is necessary to believe in God and accept the Bible as true, then doesn't that make all other religions true too? They only require faith.
If you don't believe in God, then what's the point of living?
Why does living need to have a point at all? Do the lilies of the field need to have a point to live? If you must have a point, then decide on your own meaning of life. We believe that it's much better to determine your own purpose than to have some church do it for you based on their agenda.
Doesn't being an atheist cheapen life?
Well, actually, religion cheapens life. Being an atheist makes life more precious. Since there is no afterlife, you must come to terms with the fact that it is the only life you'll ever get. If an atheist throws himself in front of a bus in order to save a child, that action is much more meaningful than if a Christian did the same thing. The Christian thinks that they'll just go to heaven and live there. Look at the 9/11 massacre in New York City and Washington, D.C. These religious Muslim people thought that their actions would hasten and ensure their entry into eternal bliss. But what they actually did was throw away the only life that they had in an act of faith.
But you must be forgiven for your sins.
What if I told you there's no such thing as sin? Sin is a concept that is sold to you by your religion. Paraphrasing Dan Barker in his excellent book, Losing Faith and Faith, would you buy a bandage from a person who comes up to you and cuts you in order to sell you a bandage? Religion tries to sell you a cure for a problem of its own making.
What do you do if you feel that you've really wronged another person or done something bad? You can't go to Jesus for forgiveness.
That's right, we can't. So we either have to get forgiveness from the person we've wronged or live with it. If you think about it, it makes us think a lot harder about the doing the right or wrong thing before we do it. The religious person can just go on and do it, knowing that he can easily be forgiven by his church, Jesus, or whatever. He doesn't even have to ask forgiveness from the person he's wronged. Did you know that Hitler was a Christian? He was a Catholic. And since he's probably asked for forgiveness in his last hours, he should be in heaven right now, right? Anne Frank's only sin was that she was Jewish. So to Christians, she should be in hell now, along with Albert Schweitzer, a non-believer, right?
And part 4 of 6. Digital Free Thoughts, Atheism 101. You can find it on YouTube under Doubter 5 or Digital Free Thought or Larry Rhodes.
Don't you believe God created man in the Garden of Eden?
No. Anthropology, paleontology, biology, and genetic research all point to evolution being the correct theory for the arrival of man on Earth. They also point to the fact that man originated in Africa, then traveled to Europe, Asia, and the rest of the world. For more information on evolution and the science behind it, visit Mark I. Vuletic, that's V-U-L-E-T-I-C, website, or do a search for him. The only proponent of creationism is religion, and different religions have different creation stories. You figure it out. And it doesn't make any sense. Let's go into this a little further using the Judeo-Christian creation story as an example. God tells Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of knowledge or they will die. Genesis 2:17. 1. They eat from it and they do not die. Doesn't that mean that God lied? 2. How can they know what to die even means? Nothing has ever died anywhere in their experience. 3. How do they even know what wrong is, if it takes eating from the tree of knowledge to know the difference between right and wrong? If God knows everything that will ever happen, then when he made the Garden of Eden and placed the tree of knowledge in the very center of it and told them not to eat from it and allowed Satan to be there to tempt them, he knew at that time that they would. Remember, they were not sinners yet and like children. Yet he acted surprised, he acted angry, and punished them and all of their descendants for the rest of time. It sounds to any reasonable ear like he was just laying a trap for humanity. Also, God knows everything. He must have known that all of this was going to happen. Why did he even go through the exercise of creating man anyway if he knew it was going to fail?
If we came from monkeys, why are there still monkeys around?
Because we didn't come from monkeys. Monkeys and humans came from a common ancestor that lived several million years ago. A few million years ago, there were actually 4 or 5 distinct humanoid variations on the planet. Heck, the Neanderthals were still around only 30,000 years ago. Why don't you try studying a little anthropology if you really want to learn more about it? Do you really think that people 2,000 to 5,000 years ago knew more about human origins than we do now?
But surely you must concede that there are some things that science can't explain.
Of course. It's always been that way, and probably always will be. Just because we don't know doesn't mean some supernatural intelligent being is responsible. Carl Sagan called this human tendency to attribute to God that which we do not know as putting God in the gaps. Atheists are quite content to say that we simply don't know yet and rely on the scientific method to find the answers eventually.
How can you trust science since it's always changing what it says?
That is simply the way the science works. You conduct tests on nature and gather results. Then you retest the results with updated knowledge and techniques that improve over time. Sometimes we do get it wrong, but we're the first to admit it when it happens and continue to work on our investigations. The church also follows scientific findings, but with about a 100 to 500 year lag. In the meantime, they persecute the scientific community as heretics. Also, the scientific method, which is responsible for modern science, modern medicine, space flight, and just about every modern convenience you take for granted today, would come to a grinding halt if scientists started saying, "Oh, God did it," and stopped researching for further answers. This actually was the thought process dominant for 500 years of scientific stagnation and oppression called the Dark Ages. And don't forget, the church changes too. The Catholic Church just did away with limbo, which it created hundreds of years ago to explain where babies went when they died.
Christian morals are founded on the Bible. How can you say you're a moral person and not believe in the Bible?
Well, first of all, human morals predate the Bible by thousands of years. They weren't invented with the Ten Commandments. It has always been against human values to be dishonest or harm or kill your fellow man or steal his possessions. Secondly, even strong Catholics and Christians cannot agree among themselves on issues like abortion, birth control, homosexuality, and women's rights. Not long ago, the Bible was used to justify slavery and deny women's rights. It's still being used to justify killing doctors who work in women's health clinics today.
How can you not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ?
Well, rationally considered, it is a pretty outlandish claim. Nobody in the history of the world has ever done it. And outside of the Bible, there's no mention of Jesus' resurrection anywhere in historical documents. Nor is there a mention of any of the other resurrections that took place the same day. According to Matthew chapter 27, 52-53, quote, "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept there came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many," end quote. You would think someone outside of the Bible would have written about that. Carrying this a bit farther, let's look at the logic of Jesus' death. 1. God is angry at us for disobeying him in the Garden of Eden and condemns us all. 2. He sends his son to die on earth to appease himself. 3. Then he forgives only those who believe in his son. The rest are still condemned. Or as Pat from Saturday Night Live, Julia Sweeney, puts it, "Why would a God create people so imperfect and then blame them for his own imperfections? Then send his own son to be murdered by those imperfect people to make up for how imperfect those people were and how imperfect they are inevitably going to be. I mean, what a crazy idea. Why didn't he just forgive us outright? Why did he condemn his son to all that suffering and torment at the hands of the people he was planning to forgive just so he wouldn't send us all to hell? And if you're Catholic, it gets even stranger. God and Jesus are the same person. So in essence, he sent himself to be sacrificed to appease himself."
Well, that certainly doesn't make a lot of sense. Here, with the Symphony of Science, we mentioned evolution in this series. So let's hear what the Symphony of Science has made a song out of it.
One species turn into another.
How is it that we find ourselves surrounded by such complexity, such elegance?
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me, we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA. We're all made of DNA.
Only the fittest survive, and that was the key to natural selection. That was the key.
We are surrounded by endless forms, most beautiful, most wonderful. Evolution, the greatest show on earth. There is grandeur in this view of life, most beautiful, most wonderful. Evolution, the greatest show on earth.
Life can be thought of as a many-branched tree. The five kingdoms of life were established early on. Bacteria, protists, amoeba-like creatures, fungi, plants, and animals.
We find ourselves perched on one tiny twig in the midst of a blossoming tree of life. Perched on one tiny twig of a blossoming tree of life.
Only the fittest survive, and that was the key to natural selection. That was the key.
We are surrounded by endless forms, most beautiful, most wonderful. Evolution, the greatest show on earth. There is grandeur in this field of life, most beautiful, most wonderful. Evolution, the greatest show on earth. Surrounded by millions of other species, walking, flying, burrowing, stalking, chasing, fleeing, outpacing.
Animals strive to reach this one ultimate goal, to ensure the survival of the next generation. This one ultimate goal, to pass on their genes. That is what life is all about, is all about.
There is grandeur in this view of life, most beautiful, most wonderful. Evolution, the greatest show on earth.
we look back on the history of life, we see a picture of never-ending, ever-rejuvenating novelty.
Those animals may seem to us to be very remote, strange, even fantastic. But all of us alive today owe our very existence to them.
And that was the Symphony of Science, Evolution. There's several of those available. There's probably, I don't know, 20 Symphony of Science songs on YouTube. Look for them. They're very well done. And here we go with the Digital Free Thoughts Atheism 101, Part 5 of 6.
It splits all of humanity into warring factions.
What have you got against religion?
Well, to begin with, it's divisive. It splits all of humanity into warring factions. Religious beliefs were the cause and or the justification for the Spanish Inquisition, the Crusades, the Divine Right of Kings, witch trials in Europe and America, the perpetuation of slavery, the dehumanization of other religious believers, the subjugation of women, the refusal of some parents to give medical treatment to their children, relying instead on prayers and faith healers, the suppression of science and indeed the suppression of reason itself, the decades of violence in the Middle East, the decades of violence in Northern Ireland, capital crimes against women's health centers, the 9/11 tragedy, which was a true faith-based act, and the subsequent war on terror that we are currently involved in. The list goes on and on. Thinking is frowned upon even from the beginning. The original sin itself comes from man eating from the, quote, tree of knowledge. Religion teaches us that the earth was put here for our disposal. We can use it up or trash it. That's okay. Religion teaches us that we are all born tainted with sin, impure and dirty. We must spend our entire lives trying to make up for the sins of the first humans. When religious leaders answer all of our questions for us, we lose our own natural curiosity. It atrophies. Further, religion teaches us that certain areas of nature are off limits for study. For example, stem cell research, which has a great potential for reducing human suffering and disease, has been outlawed. The creation of the universe. No less a personage than the Pope has told Stephen Hawking, one of the world's leading physicists, that we should not study the Big Bang because it should be left in the domain of God. Evolution, the study of the descent of man, would be outlawed if we gave the religious right half a chance. Every year sees new laws being introduced into our state legislatures in an attempt to get the teaching of evolution banned from our schools. Also, religion redirects hundreds of billions of dollars in man-hours away from more productive pursuits. Religion is directly responsible for the bilking of billions of dollars from the old and infirm. Religion teaches that morality is rigid and unchanging rather than subject to interpretation due to changing circumstances. Its supernatural foundation keeps millions, if not billions, of people in educational and cultural stagnation. If societies believe that they can find the answers to all of life's questions in their holy books, why study anything else? People pray rather than seek legitimate medical attention for illnesses for themselves and their children. Christian Science practitioners are actually paid by insurance companies to pray for the recovery of their sick and infirm under their care. Most religions tell you that your life on earth is infinitesimally small compared to that which awaits you in heaven. So why even bother trying to do anything but praise God while you're here on earth? It can't be conducive to good mental health to have an all-powerful judge of right and wrong watching your every move and reading your every thought, ready to cast you into hell forever for the slightest infraction. You could easily see where this could lead directly to paranoia. Indeed, does this not define paranoia? In war, religion teaches us that there is no reason to try to quickly end it. After all, God is on our side, and all of the fallen soldiers are going to heaven anyway, since they are fighting in a holy cause. And, since in religion our goal is the apocalypse, anything and everything we can do to hasten the end of the world should be done. And finally, if we accept religion's version of human history, we are denying our own true history, the actual human story. Homo sapiens have endured for 150,000 years, not 6,000. We have survived global catastrophes like the Toba caldera eruption, the Yellowstone caldera eruption, and an ice age. And we have battled the Neanderthal for human supremacy of the planet. We have fought the mighty mammoth, the mastodon, and the saber-toothed tiger. And in spite of this, and in spite of being constantly plagued by superstition and religion, we have managed to develop reason and the scientific method to a finely honed tool for examining and explaining the universe around us.
How can you say there is no God? I personally feel his power in church.
Well, I don't know exactly what you felt, but from the atheist standpoint, we'd say that you're experiencing a mass-induced psychosis. It is quite a commonly accepted psychological phenomenon. People in large groups can be emotionally charged rather easily. Do some research on the psychology of lynching and witch hunts, etc.
Don't you believe in an immortal soul?
No. Your personality is basically an organic and chemical structure that resides mostly in the frontal lobes of your brain. Many studies have been done to show that the application of certain chemicals, or surgery, can change the way your personality behaves. A simple surgical procedure known as a lobotomy, for example, can erase your personality altogether. How can your soul, i.e. your personality, exist when it has no physical brain to reside in?
Don't you wish you could go to heaven?
Well, sure. We'd love to believe that heaven is real and that we could live forever. But there's never been anyone who's ever come back and said it was there. There's no evidence whatsoever that life continues after death. The Bible doesn't count, since it was written by very superstitious people who believe that demons cause illness, the earth is flat, and the sun travels around the earth. Also, if heaven is to be total happiness forever, then how can you be totally happy if you know that one or more of your loved ones are in hell, or if anyone is in hell? If God removes your memories of those loved ones so that you can be happy, is he not altering the thing that is you? If he alters you very much, you cease to be the you that you were. Also, are babies still babies in heaven forever? Do retarded people become smart? Every religion or sect has a different heaven. How do we know which is the correct heaven? Indeed, how do we know anything about heaven? Even the Bible is extremely sketchy in this respect. Doesn't it make more sense that the ancient church would just make up heaven and hell to keep its followers in line? After all, hell is the ultimate threat, and heaven the ultimate bribe.
Well, surely you believe that America was founded on Christianity.
No. When religious leaders portray the American founding fathers as universally Christian, they are being downright dishonest. There were some Christians, to be sure, but many, and perhaps most, were deists. They believe that God may have created the universe, but he either died or went away after that. For example, Tom Paine, in his Age of Reason, wrote one of the most scathing attacks on Christianity to date. To quote just one passage, "Whenever we read the obscene stories, the voluptuous debaucheries, the cruel and torturous executions, the unrelenting vindictiveness with which more than half of the Bible is filled, it would be more consistent that we called it a work of a demon rather than the Word of God. It is a history of wickedness that has served to corrupt and brutalize humankind, and for my part, I sincerely detest it, as I detest everything that is cruel." And Thomas Jefferson once wrote that, "All religions are alike, founded on fables and myths." He was also a staunch supporter of the separation of church and state. Quote, "History, I believe, furnishes no example of a priest-ridden people maintaining a free civil government." Benjamin Franklin wrote in his Poor Richard's Almanac that lighthouses were more helpful than churches, and the way to see faith is to shut the eye of reason. James Madison said, quote, "During almost 15 centuries has the legal establishment of Christianity been on trial. What has been its fruit? More or less, in all places, pride and indolence in the clergy, ignorance and servility in the laity, and in both, superstition, bigotry, and persecution." But even George Washington was a lukewarm supporter of religion at best, putting his support behind human reason and education. I quote, "There is nothing which can better deserve our patronage than the promotion of science and literature. Knowledge is in every country the surest basis of public happiness."
So why did you write these pages?
Well, there are three reasons. One, to give the atheist perspective. Many religious leaders are engaged in constant misinformation campaigns aimed at painting atheists as immoral, dissolute, God-haters, if not outright Satan worshippers. Most religious leaders know that it's a lie, but they say it anyway. How many times have I heard Christians confide that it's okay to tell a lie as long as it brings more people to Christ? We're talking about breaking a commandment here, but apparently it's okay as long as the end justifies the means. 2. As a resource for people who are just beginning to doubt the veracity of their religion. I only wish there had been such a resource when I was beginning to question the church myself. The journey from faith to reason could have been a much quicker, less painful one for me. And 3, to get people to think just a little bit. Many people just go day to day believing whatever their religious teachers tell them, that whatever happens is just God's will, and that there's no other way to think about the world and the universe. Think, the universe is just as gorgeous, just as wondrous. And without an all-powerful, judgmental God watching your every move and monitoring your every thought, I would say that it is even more so.
And that was the end of that series. Like I say, that was my series I put on the internet probably 10 years ago. You can find it on YouTube. Just search for Doubter 5's Atheism 101. We have a song now, appropriately enough. It's called An Atheist Christmas Carol by Vienna Tang.
Don't forget, I love, I love, I love.
And that was An Atheist Christmas Carol by Vienna Teng, T-E-N-G. Just before we go, I want to mention that the Atheist Society of Knoxville meets every Tuesday at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria in the Old City. It's for happy hour, so we're there from about 5:30 to 8. Everyone's welcome. If you don't want to come, though, if you want to, excuse me, we just request that you don't preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch if you're religious. But if you're not religious, you're welcome, and we're happy to have you. The Rationalists of East Tennessee meets the first and third Sundays at the Goins Administration Building Access Annex on the Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road. That's the first and third Sundays around 10:30, 10:15. And that's about it. We also have a TV show that's every Tuesday from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. You can watch it on Comcast Channel 12, or you can watch it streaming online at ctvknox.org. This is the Atheist, the Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Larry Rhodes, and this is WOZO Radio, 103.9 FM, low power. And I'm going to take us out with Waves of Light by Symphony of Science.
Why are we here? Where do we come from? These are the most enduring of questions. It's a story that we wouldn't be able to tell were it not for the one thing that connects us vividly to our vast cosmos. Light. Through light, we can stare back across the entire history of the universe and discover how it all began. See, those ancient beams of light are messengers from the distant past, and they carry with them a story. A story of the origin of the universe. Gaze up into the night sky. Capture the light and read the story of the universe.